The following program is made possible in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency. The Chicago Radio Theater.
The All Media Dramatic Workshop presents another edition in our series of monthly specials. Tonight, Mystery and Adventure with Sherlock Holmes, based on the play by William Gillette and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Now, here to introduce the program is your host for the Chicago Radio Theater, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, Ron Powell.
Dark and mysterious indeed are the circumstances surrounding tonight's little adventure. A great detective, his arch nemesis and evil professor, his faithful companion and chronicler, the good doctor, and murder. As you listen to tonight's performance of Sherlock Holmes, chances are that the image your mind creates of the master detective has its origins in the playwright himself. William Gillette, who co-authored the play with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, performed in the role of Holmes for more than 20 years, and his lean, hawk-like features became a collective symbol of Sherlock Holmes for three generations. In a moment, our program.
I don't understand it in the least.
Well, you see, old boy, when the likely alternatives turn out to be impossible, whatever is left, no matter how improbable, must be the answer.
Oh, you don't.
That's right, Watson. The game's afoot. There's not a moment to lose.
The Chicago Radio Theater presents Kenneth Norton and E. Nicholas Waddle in the all-media dramatic workshop production of Sherlock Holmes by William Gillette. Arthur Conan Doyle.
On a lonely street, situated in a little frequented part of London, stands the gloomy and decayed Edelweiss Lodge. In the drawing room, the lady of the house is being confronted by her maid.
Madame? Well, what is it, Therese? Is the butler, Monsieur Judson, said I was to come? I told Judson to arrange with you himself. He could not, madame. I do not wish to remain. What is it? You must give me some reason. I do not like it, madame. Eat, hear, this place. What you do, the young lady you and monsieur have upstairs. It is not well. I cannot remain to see. You know nothing about it, Therese. The young lady is ill. She is not right in the head. She is a great trouble to us, but we take care of her and treat her with the utmost kindness. And
oh, yes, it is starting. They're screaming from upstairs.
Go down into the kitchen, Therese. I will call for you presently. For the moment, I must take care of the disturbance upstairs.
Therese, Mrs. Chetwood might have quite satisfactory, I suppose. You will not leave her alone?
Oh, Monsieur Justin, more than ever before. Did you hear the young lady scream? What is it they make to her?
Maybe she is ill.
Indeed, I think it is so that they make her ill.
Huh?
I will not remain to see. I can find another place to work.
I have one address.
Yeah, you know one.
Yes. Yes. On this card, go to that address.
Mr. Sherlock.
Someone might hear you. Go to that address in the morning and mum the word.
Is that you, Sid? I'm so glad you've come.
Have you brought your tools? Did you get my notes, Sid?
Well, I'm here, ain't I? Ah, that's what it is. I take it that safe in the desk.
Yes. We're all so glad you turned up, Sid.
So I say, lad.
Shut up. My name is Chetwood here.
Oh, beg pardon, I'm sure. My mistake. Chetwood, eh? What a nice, nifty name you've hit on this time. You're not robbing yourself, Doctor.
It does look a little like that, but with our needing you to crack our own safe.
Well, I knew you was on some rum lay, squatting down in a place for over a year. but I never could seem to, well, get a line on you, you know what I mean. But what have we got here? Loot, I suppose?
Only a bundle of papers, Sid.
Papers?
Mm-hmm.
Realize our trust.
We can't tell. It may be something. It may be nothing.
Well, if it is something, I'm in it, I hope.
Oh, why, of course, Sid.
Well, fair enough, then. Now, before we get there going, what's the general surrounding?
What's the good of wasting time on all this?
Look, see, if I'm in this, I'm in it, ain't I? And I want to know what I'm in.
You know that we've been working on the continent. Resorts and all that.
So others?
Well, it was over there. Detmold was the place. We ran into a young girl who'd been having trouble. Sister just died.
Well, you ran across her.
Madge took hold and found that this sister of hers had been having some sort of love affair with a, well, with a foreign gentleman of exceeding high rank. At least, well, expectations that way.
How much was there to it?
Promise of marriage.
I see. Broke it on both.
Yes, and the girl's heart with it. I don't know what more she expected, but anyway, she did expect more. She and her child died together.
Oh, dead.
No, she's dead, but the case isn't. There are evidences, letters, photographs, jewelry with inscriptions that he gave her. The sister's been keeping them. We've been keeping the sister, see you?
Oh, and all the track with her that the tot gave her sister? Well, what a little game.
To get even, waits till he wants to get married and then plugs him with it.
Well, these papers and things ought to be worth a little something. What?
Yeah, I tell you, it wouldn't be safe for him to marry until he gets him out of the way. He knows it very well. But what is more, the family knows it.
Oh, family? Rich, I take it?
Rich isn't quite the word. There's something else.
You don't mean they... Oh, my God. Which of them?
Nah, I don't tell you that.
Well, we are moving among the swells now, ain't we? But this here girl now, the sister of the one that died. How did you manage to get her into it?
We did the generous friendly.
I picked her up, of course, and sympathized and consoled. I invited her to stay with me at my house in London. Billy came over here and got this place. And when I brought her along a week later, it was all ready. And a private gift safe with a packet of letters and jewelry.
Yes, combination lock and all. Everything worked out smoothly until a couple of weeks ago when we began to hear from the firm of London solicitors. Some veiled proposals were made which showed that the time was coming. They wanted things out of the way. Suddenly, all negotiations on their side stopped. The next thing for me to do was to threaten. I wanted the letters for this, but when I went to get them, I found that in some way the girl had managed to change the lock on us. The numbers were all wrong, and we couldn't frighten her, starve her into opening the thing.
I see. So, you've got the stuff in there.
That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, well, it won't take long to rectify that trifling little error. But what gets me is why they broke off with their office.
It's simple enough. They've got in Sherlock Holmes on the case.
What's that? His Holmes in this?
That's what Leary told me half an hour ago.
You've got a pen and paper?
Here you are, Sid.
So what's your nearest telegraph office?
Around the corner in Lincoln Street.
Well, now, take this and run for it. And mind what I say, run for it. Now, that's to Professor Moriarty. Moriarty is king of them all in London. He runs everything that's shady. And Holmes has been setting lines all round for him for months. And he didn't know it. And now he's waking up to it. And there's the devil to pay. He wants any case that Holmes is on. It's a dead fight between them. You take the case just to get at Holmes. He'll kill him before he's finished with him. You can lay all you've got on him.
What are you telling him?
Nothing whatever. Except I've got a job on that I want to see him about in the morning. When did you settle?
Mm-hmm.
But don't take all night over it. You can't tell what might happen.
Go on, Jim.
All right, keep your eyes open.
Don't you worry. I've heard of this Professor Moriarty. What does he do?
I'll tell you one thing he does. He sits it out, quiet and easy, and runs nearly every big operation that's on. And if there's a slip on, and the police get wind of it, there ain't never any hold on him. They can't touch him. And what's more, they wouldn't want to if they could.
Why not?
Because they tried, that's why. And the men who did try it was always found shortly after, floating in the river. That is, if they were found at all. The moment a man's marked, there ain't a street that's safe for him.
How about him?
As square as a die and liberal into the bargain.
But this isn't such a big case. He might not want to be involved with it at all.
I'll tell you, you take anything that gives him a chance at Holmes.
Have you got it, Sid?
No, not yet, but I'll be there soon. I know where I am now.
Well, Sid, how goes it?
So-so.
Now, what about this Professor Moriarty?
Ask her.
It's all right, Jim. It was the proper thing to do.
Here we are. Here we go.
Gone.
She's taken them out.
What do you mean?
The girl.
She's got them.
How can you tell her she hasn't done the trick already?
What then?
And sent them along to the girl he wants to marry.
She hasn't had the chance. She couldn't get them out of this room.
Here, I'll get her down. She'll tell us where she put them or I'll strangle for it.
Look out.
Matt, go to the window and see what it is. Judson, don't.
I was just going after the daughter.
Hold off.
All right.
Well, Madge?
Tall, slim man in a long coat. A deerstalker cap. No face. That is a hunting crop.
That sure look out. You better tidy up quick, move.
Here, turn off the lights. We'll launch the bell.
Oh, no, that won't do you. Now look crooked at the start.
You're right. We'll have to let him in and play innocent.
The girl's in poor health and can't see anyone. You understand?
Yes, yes. Cece's locked in the room and stay by the door. Sid, get out by the terrace window. Keep quiet until he gets into the house. Then come round to the front.
I'll come round to the front after he's in the house. Well, that's plain.
Be ready for him when he comes out. Now, he's got the things in spite of us. I'll give you a rap on the front window glass. If you don't hear it, let him pass.
And if I do hear it,
let him have it.
Mr. Holmes,
I believe.
Yes, quite so.
Whom did you wish to see, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, thank you so much. I sent my card by the butler.
Oh, very well.
Miss Faulkner begs Mr. Holmes to excuse us. She's not well enough to see anyone this evening.
Hand this to Miss Faulkner and say that I have...
I beg your pardon, Mr. Holmes, but it's quite useless, really.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it.
Yes, Miss Faulkner is, I regret to say, quite an invalid. She's unable to see anyone. Her health is so poor.
Has it ever occurred to you that she might be confined to the house too much?
How does that concern you?
It doesn't. I simply make the suggestion. You might like to think it over. That's all, butler. Go on, take it up.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
This is really too good. Why, of course he can take up your card or your note or whatever it is, if you wish it so much. I was only trying to save you the trouble.
Thanks. It's hardly any trouble at all, sending up a card.
Do you know, Mr. Holmes, you interest me very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, upon my word, yes. We've all heard of your wonderful methods and the astonishing manner in which you gain information from the most trifling details. Now, I dare say, in this brief moment or two, you've discovered any number of things about me.
Nothing of consequence, Mr. Chetwood. I have scarcely more than asked myself why you rushed off and sent that telegram in such a frightful hurry, why your friend with the auburn hair left so suddenly by the terrace window, and what there can possibly be about the safe in the lower part of that desk to cause you such painful anxiety.
Oh, very good. Very good indeed. If these things were only true now, I'd be wonderfully impressed. It would be absolutely...
Mr. Chetwood, I'll bring you this note from upstairs.
You'll excuse me, I trust that. It's from Miss Faulkner. Well, really. She begs to be allowed to see you, Mr. Holmes. She absolutely implores it. Well, I suppose I shall have to give way, Judson.
Yes, sir.
Ask Miss Faulkner to come down to the drawing room. Say that Mr. Holmes is waiting to see her.
Yes, sir.
It's quite remarkable, upon my soul. May I ask, if I'm not being impertinent, what message you sent up on that note that could have so aroused Miss Faulkner's desire to come down?
Merely that if she wasn't down here in 5 minutes, I'd go up.
Oh. That was it.
Quite so. And unless I'm greatly mistaken, I hear the young lady on the stairs, in which case she has a minute and a half to spare.
Alice, that is Miss Faulkner. Let me introduce Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Mr. Holmes?
Ah, Miss Faulkner.
I'm really most charmed to meet you, although it does look as if you had made me come down in spite of myself, doesn't it?
I thank you very much indeed for consenting to see me, Miss Faulkner. But regret to observe that you were put to the trouble of making such a very rapid change of costume.
Oh, yes, I did hurry a trifle, I confess. Mr. Holmes is quite living up to his reputation, isn't he, Freddy?
Yes, but he didn't quite live up to it a moment ago.
Oh, didn't he? I'm so sorry.
He's been telling me the most astonishing things.
And were they true?
Well, hardly. He wanted to know what there was about the safe in the lower part of that desk that caused me such horrible anxiety.
What did he say?
That's just it. There's a safe there, of course, but nothing in it.
Yes.
Perhaps you'll do better next time,
Mr. Holmes. Yes, next time. He might try it on me, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, yes. What do you think of her?
Oh, it's very easy to discern one thing about Miss Faulkner, and that is that she is particularly fond of the piano. While she likes light music very well, she is extremely fond of some of the great masters, among them Chopin, Liszt, and Schubert. She plays a great deal. Indeed, I see it is her chief diversion, which makes it all the more remarkable that she has not touched the piano for 3 days.
Why, that's quite surprising, isn't it?
It's certainly better than he did for me.
I am glad to repair my somewhat shattered reputation.
But Mr. Holmes, how do you know so much about my play? The things I'm so fond of, I mean.
Your hands and your music rack.
Simple. But you said I hadn't played for 3 days. How did
The keys.
The keys?
A light touch of London's smoky atmosphere.
Dust. Oh, dear. I never knew tailors to forget before. You must think us very untidy, I'm sure.
Oh, quite the reverse, Miss Faulkner. I observe from many things that you are not untidy in the least. And therefore I am compelled to conclude that the failure of Therese is due to something else.
What do you mean?
Well, to some unusual excitement or disturbance that has recently taken place in this house.
You called her?
What are you doing here, Judson?
Beg pardon, ma'am. I was answering the bell.
What do you mean, you blockhead? No one rang the bell.
Your butler is right, Mr. Chetwood. The bell did ring.
Well, how do you know?
I rang it.
What do you want?
I want to send my car to Miss Faulkner.
What right have you to ring for servants and give orders in my house?
What right have you to prevent my cars from reaching their destination? And how does it happen that you and this woman are resorting to trickery and deceit to prevent me from seeing Alice Faulkner? Through some trifling oversight, Judson.
Yes, sir.
Neither of the cards I handed you has been delivered. Kindly see that this error does not occur again.
My orders.
Ah, you have orders.
I can't say that.
You were told not to deliver my card.
What business is this of yours, I'd like to know?
I shall satisfy your curiosity on that point in a very short time.
Yes, and you'll find out in a very short time that it isn't safe to meddle with me. There wouldn't be any trouble for me at all to throw you out into the street.
Possibly not. But trouble would swiftly follow such an experiment on your part.
That's a cursed lucky thing for you. I'm not armed.
Yes. Well, when Miss Faulkner comes down, you can go and arm yourself.
Arm myself? I'll call the police. And what's more, I'll do it now.
Oh, no. You will not do it now. You will remain where you are until the lady I came here to see has entered this room.
What makes you sure of that?
Because you will prefer to avoid an investigation of your very suspicious conduct, Mr. James Larrabee. An investigation that shall certainly take place if you or your wife presume further to interfere with my business. As for you, Judson, my man, it gives me pleasure to recall the features of an old acquaintance. Your recent connection with the screening of another man's name to a small piece of paper has made your presence at headquarters much desired. You will either deliver that card to Miss Faulkner at once, or you sleep in the police station tonight. It's a matter of small consequence to me which you do.
Shall I tell, sir?
Oh, go on. Take up the card. It makes no difference to me.
Yes, sir. If he comes down, can't you get him away from her?
If he does, Sid Prince is waiting from outside.
Larrabee, a short time since you displayed an acute anxiety to leave the room. Pray do not let me detain you or your wife any longer.
This is Mr. Holmes. You wish to see me?
Very much indeed, Miss Faulkner. But I am sorry to see that you are far from well. Let me draw you a chair.
No.
No. I beg your pardon, but what does this red mark on your wrist signify?
Nothing. No.
And the mark here on your neck, plainly showing the touch of a man's fingers, does that mean nothing also? It occurs to me that I should like to have an explanation of this. Possibly you couldn't furnish one, Mr. Larrabee.
How should I know?
Seems to have occurred in your own house.
Well, what if it did? You'd better understand that it isn't healthy for you or anyone else to interfere with my business.
Ah, then it is your business. We have that much at least. Pray be seated, Miss Faulkner.
I don't know who you are, Mr. Holmes, or why you are here.
I shall be very glad to explain. So far as the question of my identity is concerned, you have my name and address, as well as the announcement of my profession, on the card, which I observe you still hold crossed tightly in the fingers of your left hand.
A detective.
Quite so. And my business is this. I have been consulted as to the possibility of obtaining from you certain letters and other things which are supposed to be in your possession and which, I need not tell you, are the source of the greatest anxiety. I am able to assure you of the sincere penitence, the deep regret of the one who inflicted the injury and of his earnest desire to make any reparation within his power.
How can reparation be made to the dead?
How indeed? And for that very reason, whatever injury you yourself may be able to inflict by means of these things can be no reparation, no satisfaction, no indemnity to the one no longer here. You will be acting for the living, not the dead. For your own satisfaction, Miss Faulkner. Your own revenge.
I know from this, and from other things that have happened, better
marriage is contemplated.
It is quite true.
I cannot give up what I intend to do, Mr. Holmes. There are other things beside revenge. There is punishment. If I am not able to communicate with the family to which this man proposes to ally himself in time to prevent such a thing, the punishment will come later. But you may be perfectly sure that it will come. There is nothing more to say.
Oh, pardon me. I seem to have bumped my chair.
Good night, Mr. Holmes.
But my dear Miss Faulkner, before you... What's going on in your house here?
Mr. Chetwood! Mr. Chetwood!
Oh, what is it? Be careful.
The lamp! The lamp in the kitchen, sir. It fell off the table and everything down there is blazing, sir.
The house is on fire!
Don't alarm yourself, Miss Faulkner. There is no fire.
No fire?
The smoke was all I arranged for.
Arranged for? What does it mean, Mr. Holmes?
That I wanted this package of letters, Miss Faulkner. I won't take them, Miss Faulkner. As you very likely conjecture, the alarm of fire was only to make you betray their hiding place in the lining of the chair, which you did. And I availed myself of that betrayal, as you see. But now that I witness your great distress, I find that I cannot keep them. Unless you can possibly change your mind and let me have them of your own free will. I hardly suppose you could. I will therefore return them to you.
Now I've got a revolver. So, you've got them, have you? Now I suppose we're going to see you walk out of the house with them.
Covering him?
On the contrary, you are going to see me return them to their rightful owner.
Yes, now I have a gun. I think that will be the safest thing for Mr. Sherlock Holmes to do.
You flatter yourself, Mr. Larrabee. The reason I do not leave the house with this package of papers is not because of you, or what you may do, or say, or think, or feel. It is on account of this young lady. Really? Revolvers? Miss Faulkner, permit me to place this in your hands. Should you ever change your mind and be so generous, so forgiving, as to wish to return these letters to the one who wrote them, you have my address. In any event, rest assured, there will be no more cruelty, no more persecution in this house. You are perfectly safe with your property now, for I shall so arrange it that your faintest cry of distress will be heard. And if that cry is heard, it will be a very unfortunate thing for those who are responsible. Good night, Miss Faulkner. As for you, sir, and you, madam, I beg you to understand that you continue your persecution of that young lady at your own peril.
He didn't get it, did he? No. Well, what is it? What's the pay if he didn't?
It's that you have.
What? He found it and gave it to the girl? Well, I say, what are you waiting for? Now's a chance before she argues again.
No,
but what's the matter? Do you want to lose it? No. No, you're right. It's all a person does.
But he knows him.
I tell you, we will. Now's our chance to get hold of this grab, I should say.
What's out the door?
No, he's on that side. Johnson. Johnson!
Yes, sir.
I think someone knocked, Judson.
Well, I beg pardon, ma'am, but there's no one at the door.
There. He's got us watched. What we want to do is leave it alone. And let the Emperor have it.
You mean Professor Moriarty?
That's who I mean. Once let him get at it, and he'll settle it with Holmes pretty quickly.
The first thing we must do is to get rid of your butler. Not discharge him. Get rid of him. Prince, have Cragen do that. Today, as soon as it's dark. Give him two others to help. Mr. Larrabee will send a man into the cellar for something. They'll be ready for him there. Dalton's van will get the body to the river. It need not inconvenience you at all, madam. We do these things quietly. And what's the Seraph doing?
He's on that Reading job tomorrow night, Professor.
Put him on with Cragen today to help with that butler. But there's something else we want. Have you seen those letters, the photographs, and whatever else there may be? Have you seen them? Do you know what they look like?
I have, Professor. I've looked at them carefully several times.
Oh, you have? That as well. Do you think you could make me a counterfeit set of these things and tie them up so they will look precisely like the packages Holmes' man held in his hand last night?
I couldn't manage the letters, but I...
If you can manage the letters, I'll send someone who can manage the rest, from your description. Prince, that old German artist, eh?
Leuschner?
Precisely. Send Leuschner to Mrs. Larrabee at 11. I shall want that counterfeit package at 11 tonight.
I'll have it ready, sir.
Prince, notify the Lasker that I may require the gas chamber at Stepney tomorrow night, and have Cragen there at 11:45 with his crew.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Larrabee, I shall want you to write a letter to Mr. Sherlock Holmes, which I shall dictate. And tomorrow night, I may require a little assistance from you both. Meet me here at 11.
This is all very well, sir, but you've said nothing about the business arrangements. I'm not sure that I...
You have no choice.
No choice.
No choice. I do what I please. It pleases me to take hold of this case.
Well, what about pleasing me?
I'm not sure, but that I shall be able to do that as well. I will obtain the original letters from Miss Faulkner and negotiate them for much more than you could possibly obtain. In addition, you will have the opportunity to sell the counterfeit package to Holmes for a good round sum. And the money obtained from both these sources shall be divided between us as follows. You will take 100% and I, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. But we cannot negotiate those letters until we know whom they incriminate. Mr. Larrabee has not yet informed us. Mr. Larrabee is wise in exercising caution, but he will consent to let me know.
Professor Moriarty, that information we would like to give only to you.
Write the name on that card. This is an absolute certainty.
Absolute.
It means that you have a fortune. Had I known this, you should hardly have had such terms.
Oh, well, we don't object to a little...
The arrangement is made, Mr. Larrabee. I bid you good morning. Prince, place your men at 9 tonight for Sherlock Holmes' house in Baker Street.
You're going to go there yourself, sir?
I will go there myself.
But the meeting you arranged for tomorrow night, sir. I'm to get him in the gas chamber.
If I fail to kill him in Baker Street, we'll have him in Swandam Lane. Either way, I have him, Prince. Two strings to our bow. Two strings, eh, Prince?
In a moment, Act Two of Sherlock Holmes. You're listening to the Chicago Radio Theater on Chicago's fine arts station, WFMT-FM Chicago and WFMT Cicero. The Radio Theater has some very interesting projects planned. Future programs include plays by Saul Bellow, the Swedish novelist Per Lagerfeld, and A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh. Next month, the Radio Theater is performing the famous War of the Worlds, broadcast live at Northwest Federal Savings. More about this at our next intermission. Also, they are preparing a program on F. Scott Fitzgerald for National Public Radio and the radio version of Homer's The Odyssey. To make sure you are informed of all this activity, you can phone in now for our free audio bills, which detail the monthly broadcast. The audio bills give background on the casts and playwrights and act as a friendly reminder to tune in. There are operators on duty until the end of tonight's program. The phone lines are limited, so please be patient if you can't reach the radio theater on the first try. The numbers at WFMT are 751-7100 or 751-7127. Now, Act Two of Sherlock Holmes.
That same day, I was finishing a round of calls that took me to my old lodging at 221B Baker Street. And I thought to have a look in on my companion of my bachelor days, Sherlock Holmes. The page boy, Billy, showed me in. Still sawing away, eh, Holmes?
Oh, Watson, my dear fellow.
Oh, how are you, Holmes?
I'm delighted to see you. Perfectly delighted. Upon my word, I am, but...
Oh, I'm... So sorry to observe that your wife left you in this way.
She has gone on a little visit, but how did you know?
How did I? Well, I like that. How did I know? How do I know anything? How do I know that you've opened an office and resumed the practice of medicine without letting me hear a word about it? How do I know that you've been getting yourself very wet lately and that you have an extremely careless servant girl and that you've moved your dressing table to the other side of your room?
Holmes,
If you'd lived a few centuries ago, they'd have burned you alive.
Such a conflagration would have saved me a great deal of trouble and expense.
Tell me now, how did you know all that?
It's too simple to talk about. Scratches and clumsy cuts, my dear fellow. On the inner side of your shoe there, just where the firelight strikes it. Scratches, cuts. Somebody scraped away crusted mud and did it badly. Badly. Scraped the shoe along with it. There's your wet feet and your careless servant all on one shoe. Face badly shaved on right side. Always used to be on left. Light must come from other side. Couldn't very well move your window. Must have moved your dressing table.
Yes, Holmes, but my medical practice. I don't see how you could possibly have...
Oh, now, Watson. How perfectly absurd of you. Absurd to come stumping in here fairly reeking with the odor of iodoform and with the black mark of nitrate of silver on the forefinger of your right hand and ask me how
I... Of course. But how the deuce did you know my wife was away?
Where the deuce is your second waistcoat button? And what the deuce is just Miss Boutonniere doing in today's lapel? And why the deuce do you wear the expression of...
Absolutely marvelous, Holmes. Absolutely
marvelous, my dear fellow. Elementary for child's play of deduction. I'm only doing it to amuse you. Watson, my dear fellow, to change the subject a trifle. In the enthusiasm which has prompted you to chronicle, and if you will excuse my saying so, to somewhat embellish a few of my little ventures, you have occasionally seen fit to introduce a certain element of romance, which struck me as being just a trifle out of place. Something like working an elopement into the fifth proposition of Euclid. I merely refer to this in case you should see fit at some future time to chronicle the most important and far-reaching piece of work in my entire career. The case of Professor Robert Moriarty.
Moriarty? The fellow of the Valley of Fear episode?
None other. The Napoleon of crime. Within 48 hours, we'll arrest him and his entire gang.
Oh, I hope so. This is a very dangerous thing.
Oh, my dear fellow, it's perfectly delightful. My whole life is spent in a series of frantic endeavors to escape from the dreary commonplaces of existence. For a brief period, I escape. You should congratulate me.
But you could escape them without taking such serious risks. Your other cases have not been so dangerous, and they were even more interesting. Now, the one you spoke of the last time I saw you, the recovery of those damaging letters and gifts from a young girl who were... most peculiar affair, as I remember it. You were going to try the experiment of making her betray their hiding place by an alarm of fire in her own house. And after that...
Precisely. After that.
Didn't the plan succeed?
Yes, as far as I've gone.
You got Foreman into the house as butler.
Yes, Foreman was in as butler, calling himself Judson.
And upon your signal, he overturned a lamp in the kitchen, scattered the smoke balls, and gave an alarm of fire. And the young lady...
She did, Watson. The young lady did. It all transpired precisely as I planned. She betrayed the hiding place in her fright, and I took the packet of papers and handed it back to Miss Faulkner.
But why did you hand it back after going to all that trouble to get it?
For the very simple reason, my dear Watson, that it would have been theft for me to keep it. The contents of the packet are the absolute property of the young lady. My only chance is to induce her to give me the package of her own free will. Its return to her after I had laid hands on it was the first move in this direction. The second will depend upon what transpires today. I expect Foreman to report here in about half an hour.
I beg your pardon, mister. The boy is said to come right up as soon as I come.
Quite right, quite right.
Oh, I fear me there is trouble. Monsieur the butler, your assistant, the one who sent me to
Foreman.
You.
Foreman?
Foreman, if there is something done to him, I fear to go down and see.
Down where?
Down, the cellar of that house. Oh, it is a dreadful place. He did not come back. He went down. He did not return.
Who sent him down?
Monsieur, the house is your Chetwood.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Hey, coat, boots, order a cab, quick. Now, answer me. Did anyone follow him down?
I did not see.
Take this revolver, Watson, and come with me.
I did not see to go out, sir.
Great God, no. We don't want you. Wait here. Ah, I hear Foreman going now.
Oh, Monsieur Foreman, he's got the cat in the head.
Nothing more last night, sir. After he left, Prince came in and they made us stop for the room to get the package away, but I gave the three knocks with an axe and the floor beams as you directed, and they didn't go any farther. This morning, a little after nine...
Take a look at his head, Watson.
Oh, it's nothing at all, sir.
Let me have a look there now. It's an ugly bruise, but it's not dangerous. Very well. A little after nine, you say?
Yes, sir. This morning, a little after nine, Larrabee and his wife drove away in a four-wheeler. She returned about 11 without him. A little later, old Leutner came and the two went to work at something in the library. I got a look at them from the outside and found they were making up a counterfeit of a package we're working for.
Counterfeit?
Yeah.
Oh, good thing. I think I can use that. And Larrabee, what of him?
He came back a little after three.
How did he seem?
Well, under a great excitement, sir.
Any marked resentment toward you?
I think there was, sir, though he tried not to show it.
Ah, tried not to show it. He's consulted someone outside. In fact, I'm inclined to think they've taken in a partner and a dangerous one at that. It was on his advice they sent you down into the coal cellar where you doubtless had a bit of a fight.
That's what I did, sir.
And it was fortunate you got away alive.
Yes, sir. Most important, sir.
Read it, Watson. It's a good fellow.
Yes. Dear sir.
Who thus addresses me?
James Larrabee.
Oh, and what has James to say this evening?
I have the honor to inform you that Miss Faulkner has changed her mind regarding the letters, etc., which you wish to obtain, and has decided to dispose of them for a monetary consideration.
Ah.
She has placed them in my hands for this purpose, and if you are in a position to offer a good round sum and to pay it down at once in cash, the entire lot is yours. If you wish to negotiate, however, it must be tonight at the house of a friend of mine in the city. At 11 o'clock, you will be at the Guards Monument at the foot of Waterloo Place. You will see a four-wheeler with wooden shutters to the windows.
Mm.
Enter it, and the driver will bring you to my friend's house. If you have the cab followed or try any other underhand trick, you won't get what you want. Let me know your decision. Yours truly, James Larrabee. Good Lord.
Mine truly. Well, later, perhaps.
But what does the fellow mean?
Well, the fellow means to sell me a base imitation for a large sum of money. Now, see if I have the point. Tonight, 11 o'clock, Guards Monument, cab with wooden shutters, no one to come with me, no one to follow, or I don't get what I want.
That's quite right.
Ah.
But this cab with the wooden shutters?
Oh, merely a little device to keep me from seeing where they are taking me. Billy.
Yes, sir.
Give this to the man and...
It was a woman, sir.
Ah. Young or old?
Quite young, sir.
Seen the driver before?
Yes, sir, but can't think where.
Hand this to the lady, apologize for the delay, and look at the driver again.
Yes, sir.
But my dear Holmes, you didn't say you would go.
Oh, but I certainly did. Oh, mademoiselle.
Oui, monsieur.
This fellow means mischief.
And this fellow means the same. Be so good, mademoiselle, as to listen to every word. Tonight at 12 o'clock, I meet Mr. James Larrabee and purchase from him the false bundle of letters to which you just now overheard us refer.
Oui, monsieur.
I wish Miss Faulkner to know at once that I propose to buy this package tonight.
I will tell her, monsieur.
That is my wish. But do not tell her that I know this packet and its contents to be counterfeit. She is to suppose that I think I am buying the genuine.
Oui, monsieur. When you purchase, you think you have the real.
Quite so. Oh, one more thing. Tomorrow evening, I shall want you to accompany her to this place. Here. However, you will receive further instructions as to this in the morning.
Yes,
Thomas.
Yes, sir.
A change to your mega disguise number 14 and go through every place in the Riverside District. Don't stop till you get a clue to this new partner of Larrabee's. I must have it.
Very well, sir.
If you please, sir. There's a man waiting down at the street door, and he says he must speak to Mr. Foreman, sir, as quick as he can.
I think we'd better have a look at this man. Billy, show him up.
He can't come up, sir. He's a watching of a man in the street. He says he's from Scotland Yard.
I'd better see what it is, sir.
No. Well, take a look at him first. Be ready for anything.
Trust me for that, sir.
See what he does, Billy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is becoming interesting, Holmes. Now, look here. You've been so kind as to give me a halfway look into this case.
One moment, my dear fellow. Billy!
Yes, sir?
Mr. Foreman, is he still there?
No, sir. He's gone.
No, that's all.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
As you were saying, Watson, this strange case of... Miss Faulkner. Precisely. The strange case of Miss Faulkner.
Well, you've given me some idea of it, but I would certainly like to know what you propose to do with that counterfeit package which you are going to risk your life to obtain.
I intend, with the aid of the counterfeit, to make her willingly hand me the genuine. I shall accomplish this by a piece of trickery and deceit of which I am heartily ashamed, and which I would never have undertaken if I had known her as I do now. Too bad. She's rather a nice girl, Watson.
A nice girl, you see? Then you think that possibly...
I beg pardon, sir. Mr. Foreman's just sent over from the chemist on the corner to say he said he's opining him a bit. And would Dr. Watson kindly step over and get him something to put on it?
Oh, yes, certainly. I'll go at once. Well, that fever, it didn't look like anything serious. I'll be back in a minute, Holmes.
Billy.
Yes, sir.
Who brought that message from Foreman?
A boy from the chemist, sir.
Yes, of course. But which boy?
Must have been a new one, sir. I ain't never seen him before.
Billy, get downstairs quickly and look after the doctor. If the boy's gone and there's a man with him, it means mischief. Let me know. Don't stop to come up. Ring the doorbell. I'll hear it. Ring it loud.
Yes, sir.
dangerous habit to fling the loaded firearms in the pocket of one's dressing gown.
I give you my word that you'll be taken from here to the hospital if you keep your hand behind you like that. That's better. In that case, the table will do quite as well.
You evidently don't know me.
Oh, I think it's quite evident that I do. Pray have a chair, Professor. I can spare you 5 minutes if you have anything to say. What were you about to do?
Look at my watch.
I'll tell you when your 5 minutes is up.
It is your intention to pursue this case against me.
That is my intention, to the very end.
I regret it. Not so much on my own account, but on yours.
I share your regret, Professor, but solely because of the rather uncomfortable position it will cause you to occupy.
And may I inquire to what position you are pleased to allude, Mr. Holmes?
That of dangling from a gallows.
And have you the faintest idea that you would be permitted to live to see that day?
As to that, I do not particularly care. Just so that I can bring you to see it.
You'll never bring me to see it. Do you think that I would be here if I had not made the streets quite safe in every respect?
Oh, I could never so grossly overestimate your courage as that.
Do you imagine that your friend the doctor and your man Foreman will soon return?
Possibly not.
So, it leaves us quite alone, doesn't it, Mr. Holmes? Quite alone. So that we can talk the matter over quietly and not be disturbed. In the first place, I wish to call your attention to a few memoranda which I have jotted down, which you will find...
Look out! Don't do that. Put your hands down, quickly! A little further away from that memorandum book you were talking about.
I was merely about to take out...
Well, merely don't do it. I don't want it. I've got one of my own. If you want it, we'll have someone get it for you. Watson! I always like to save my guests unnecessary trouble.
I observe that your friend does not answer your call.
No, but I have an idea that he will before long.
It may possibly be longer than you think, Mr. Holmes.
What?
Yes.
At least we'll try once more, Professor. Watson!
Doesn't it occur to you that he may possibly have been detained, Mr. Holmes?
It does, Professor. But it also occurs to me that you are in very much the same predicament, Professor Moriarty. Watson!
I beg pardon, Holmes. Someone tried to hold me.
Well, it's quite evident, however, that he failed to do so.
I dare say. He's got my coat, but he hasn't got me.
Watson.
Yes, Holmes.
The gentleman I am carefully pointing out to you with this 42 desires to have us get something out of his left hand inside coat pocket. As he is not feeling quite himself today, and the consequence of his trying to do it himself might prove fatal, I suppose you attend to it for him.
Oh, certainly, Holmes. Ah, is this gun what you're looking for,
Holmes? Quite so. Put it on the table, Watson. Oh, not there. Look out.
Oh. Damn it.
Push it a little further this way. That's more like it.
Shall I see if he's got another one?
Oh, why, Watson, you surprise me. After the gentleman has taken the trouble to inform us that he hasn't.
When, Holmes?
When he made a snatch for this one. Rather a rash project of yours, Moriarty, to make use of that thing so early in the evening and in this part of the town.
Listen to me. On the 4th of January, you crossed my path. On the 23rd, you incommoded me. And now, at the close of April 1st, I find myself placed in such a position through your continual interference that I am in positive danger of losing my liberty.
Have you any suggestion to make?
No, I have no suggestion to make. I have a fact to state. If you do not drop it at once, your life is not worth that.
I'm afraid, Professor, that in the pleasure of this conversation, I am neglecting more important business.
I came here this evening to see if peace could not be arranged between us.
Ah, yes. Yes, I saw that. That's rather good.
You have seen fit not only to reject my proposals, but to make insulting references coupled with threats of arrest.
Quite so. Quite so.
You have been warned of your danger. You do not heed that warning. Perhaps you will heed this.
Look out! He's gone! He's gone!
Oh, I didn't suppose you'd want to use that thing again, so I took your cartridges out and put them in my pocket. Watson, would you care to show the professor out?
Professor? Is this Professor Moriarty?
Oh, the very same.
Oh, it will be a pleasure to show him out. Come along, Professor.
You'll pay for this.
You know, Professor, I've chronicled several of Holmes' adventures, and if you'd ever care to have your own life of crime set before the public, I'd be quite happy.
Good old Watson.
No luck, Professor?
We will continue with our plan to have him meet you at the gas chamber tomorrow. From that, it is impossible to escape.
But how can you be sure?
I can be sure. The door is bolted from the outside and the windows are barred. Mm. Every possible nook that could provide ventilation has been plugged.
I see. Now, what is to happen?
I give you this opportunity to sell him the packet and get what you can for your trouble. But anything that is found on him after you have finished is subject to the usual division among my henchmen.
That's all I want.
When you have quite finished and got your money, blow this cab whistle. Here, this is your watch chain. Upon that signal, my men will take their turn. They bind him, the room is sealed, and the gas turned on.
I see.
And Mr. Larrabee.
Yes?
At the proper moment, present my compliments to Mr. Sherlock Holmes and say that I wish him a pleasant journey to the other side.
In a moment, the conclusion of Sherlock Holmes. Now, the conclusion of Sherlock Holmes.
You understand, we're on this floor, just around the far turn of the passage, so he won't see us as he's coming up.
I understand. Now, my wife's outside. We'll give a signal when she sees him. But you respond to my signal from here.
I got you.
Now, go. He's doing him over.
Come on, boys. Let's go. Come on.
Now, Mr. Holmes, this is the end for you.
What do you want?
Don't you get into this place.
I followed you in a cab.
What have you been doing since I came up here? Informing the police, perhaps?
No. I was afraid he'd come. So I waited.
To warn him, I suppose.
Yes. To warn him. You're going to swindle and deceive him. I know that. Is there anything more?
What could you do if there was?
I could buy you off.
How much would you give?
A genuine package. The real one. All the proof. Everything.
You got it with you?
I can get it in a few moments.
So you do all that for this man? You think he's your friend, I suppose.
I haven't thought of it.
Well, look what he's doing now. Coming here to buy these things from me.
They're false. They're counterfeit.
Yes, but he doesn't know that.
He may ask my permission still.
He won't get the chance.
Inspector, then there is something else.
Well, you see me here by myself, don't you? I'm going to talk to him on a little business. How could I do him any harm?
Where are those men who came up here?
What men?
Three terrible-looking men. I saw them go in at the street door.
Oh, those men. They went up the other stairway. You can see them through the next building if you look outside this window.
I look in the passageway, if you please.
Yes, but I don't please.
Where are those men?
Just stay where you are, and you'll see them very soon.
You're going to do him some harm.
No, it's just a little joke at his expense.
You wanted the letters, the package I had in the safe. I'll get it for you. Let me go, and I'll bring it here, or whatever you tell me. I give you my word not to say anything to anyone. Not to him, not to the policeman, not to anyone.
You needn't take the trouble to get it, but you can tell me where it is. And you'll have to be quick about that, too.
Yes. If you'll promise not to go on with this, not to do him any harm.
Of course. That's understood.
You promise?
Certainly I promise. Now, where is it?
Just outside my chamber window. Just outside on the left. Fastened between the shutter and the wall. You can easily find it.
Yes, I can easily find it.
Now... Tell them to go.
Tie her up so she can't make a noise.
Break
her up there until you can stand out of here. Have Holmes in here and then let the Hagen keep her in the chair.
Hand me that piece of rope.
I hear it.
Oh, my God. He's here. That's the signal.
Well, we won't have time to get her out.
Well, shut her in there.
Yeah, that'll do.
In with her, come on.
Yeah, take this knife.
Go on, knife won't hold it.
Yes, it will. If you drive it in strong. You'll have to find us here. And we won't wait either. We'll go on and do him up.
No, you won't. I'll see him first, if you please.
There might be time to get back into the passage. They ain't up the first flight yet.
Quick, then.
All right, let's get going.
Well, really, I certainly thought after all this driving about in a closed cab, you'd show me something new.
Seen it before, have you?
Oh, well, a time or two. Brace of counterfeiters used these luxurious chambers in the spring of 89. One of them hid in that cupboard. We pulled him out by the heels.
Quite interesting, but times have changed since then.
So they have, Mr. Larrabee. So they have. Then it was only cracksmen, counterfeiters, pickpockets, and petty swindlers of various kinds. But now...
Well, what now?
Well, between you and me, Mr. Larrabee, we've heard of some pretty shady work not far from here. A murder or two of a very peculiar kind, and I've always had a suspicion. That's it. The window. Aha! My surmise was correct. It is.
It is what?
Corked.
What does that signify to us?
Oh, nothing to us, Mr. Larrabee, nothing to us. But it might signify a great deal to some poor devil who's been caught in his trap.
Well, it's nothing to us. Suppose we leave it alone and get to business. My time is limited, of course. Cigar?
Thanks. Fine cigar.
Glad you like it. Now, here is the little packet, which is the object of this meeting. I haven't opened it yet, but Miss Faulkner tells me everything is there.
I suppose, Mr. Larrabee, that as Miss Faulkner knows nothing whatsoever about this affair, we omit her name from the discussion?
What do you mean? Who told you she doesn't know?
You did. Every look, tone, gesture, everything you have said and done since I have been in this room has informed me that Miss Faulkner has never consented to this transaction. It is a little speculation of your own.
I suppose you think you can read me like a book.
Oh, no, like a primer.
Yeah. Well, let it pass. How much do you give?
£1,000.
I couldn't take it.
What do you ask?
5,000.
I couldn't give it.
Very well. We've had all this trouble for nothing.
Oh, don't say that, Mr. Larrabee, don't say that. To me, the occasion has been doubly interesting. I have not only had the pleasure of meeting you again, but I have also availed myself of the opportunity to make some observations regarding this place which may not come amiss.
Well, I've been offered £4,000.
Why didn't you take it?
Because I intend to get more.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, if they offered 4,000, they'll give 5.
And they won't give anything.
Why not?
Well, they've turned the case over to me.
Did you get 3,000?
Mr. Larrabee, strange as it may appear, my time is limited as well as yours. I have brought with me the sum of £1,000, which is all that I wish to pay. If it is your desire to sell at this figure, kindly apprise me of the fact at once. If not, permit me to wish you a very good evening.
You can have it. It's too small a matter to haggle over. Oh. I thought you said you had just brought 1,000.
I did. This is it.
You brought a trifle more, I see.
Oh, quite so. I didn't say I hadn't brought any more.
You can do your little tricks when it comes to it, can't you?
Well, it depends on whom I'm dealing with. Now, here you are. £1,000. Now I've got you where I want you, Mr. James Larrabee. Trying to grab the asylum out of my pocketbook, were you? You've been so cunning and so cautious and so wise, we couldn't find a thing to hold you for. But this little slip will get you in for robbery.
You'll have it in for me, will you? What are your views about being able to get away from here yourself?
Why, I do not anticipate any particular difficulty.
Robbery, eh? Why, even if you got away from here, you haven't got a witness. You haven't got a witness to your name.
I'm not so sure of that, Mr. Larrabee. But do you usually fasten that door with a knife?
Come away from that door.
Stand back. What does this mean?
I'll show you what it means.
I'm afraid you're badly hurt, Miss Faulkner. Let me untie you.
Mr. Holmes, look!
Ah, Prince, delighted to see you. And you too, McCaig. Now, it's not beginning to feel a little more like yourself, Miss Faulkner, because we shall leave here very soon.
Oh, yes, do let us go, Mr. Holmes.
You'll have to wait a bit, Mr. Holmes. We've a little matter of business we'd like to talk over.
All right, Prince. I'll see you tomorrow morning in your cell at Burke.
Have you got his revolver?
Yes, here it is.
Good. Now we've got it done. Think we're going on with it?
Why not? Write in your will, I suppose?
No, no, only a brief description of one or two of you gentlemen for the police. I'm ready now.
Now, wait a bit. You'd better listen to me, Mr. Oakes. We're going to tie you down. Nice and tight to the top of that table.
Oh, thank you very much indeed, but I don't think you will.
And you'll save yourself a deal of trouble if you submit quiet and easy-like. Because if you don't, you might get knocked about some.
Oh, Mr. Oakes.
Come away from him. Come over here if you don't want to get hurt.
My child, if you don't want to get hurt, don't leave me for a second.
You'd better look out, miss. He might get killed.
Then you can kill me, too.
I'm afraid you don't mean that, Miss Faulkner.
Oh, but I do.
No, no, no. You wouldn't say it at another time and place.
I would say it anywhere.
So?
Anywhere.
You'll have it out with us,
eh? Something like that, my good prince.
Well, then, I'll have to give you what? Same as I did your right-hand man this afternoon.
Ah, you heard him say that. The same as he did my right-hand man this afternoon. Don't forget that, Faith. In 3 days, I shall ask you to identify it in the prisoner's dock.
Ah, you...
Why, how surprised me, gentlemen. Be you're sure of anybody in this room and 3 bars gone out of the window.
Bars or no bars, you're not going to get out of here as easily as you expect.
Oh, well, there are so many ways, Mr. Larrabee, that I hardly know which one to choose.
Well, you better choose quick. I can tell you that.
I'll choose at once, Mr. Prince.
and my choice falls on this.
I won't.
Hey, he's put the light out.
Hey,
quick, flash in here. Oh, how are we going to find him now?
Oh, there he is. The cigar.
Crack him by the glow of the cigar.
Oh, there he is. By the window.
Right. He left the cigar for you on the windowsill.
Well, he's not over here at all. He's by the door.
Come, my dear.
Hey. Oh, he's locked us in here.
He's working in my study. In order to finish in time to join Holmes at Baker Street, where we were to meet emissaries from his titled client. I had just finished seeing my last patient when my man interrupted me.
Well, what is it?
A lady, sir, and she wants to see you. Most particular, sir.
What about?
She didn't say, sir. She only said it was of the utmost importance.
Ah, well, very well. I was going to walk to Holmes for the exercise, but I can take a cab. Show her in and call a cab for me at the same time.
Yes, Dr. Watson.
Oh, Doctor, it's awfully good of you to see me. I'm Mrs. H.D. Whitsitton. Oh, tell me, I didn't bring my card case. Or if I did, I've lost
it. Don't trouble about a card, Mrs. Seaton. Please be seated.
Thank you so much. It's something that has happened, Doctor. It has just simply happened. I know it wasn't his fault. I know.
Whose fault?
My brother's. My poor, dear, youngest brother. He couldn't have done such a thing. He simply couldn't.
Such a thing as what?
He complained of our defenses if he brought her from the Admiralty office. You see, he worked there. He was the only one who knew about them in the whole office.
Well, I'm very sorry indeed, Mrs. Seaton.
Thank you so much. They said you were Mr. Holmes' friend. Several people told me that. Several. They advised me to ask you where I could find him. Everything depends on a doctor.
Holmes, of course. He's just the one you want.
He's just the one. Thank you so much. Now, what would you advise me to do?
Well, I'd go to Mr. Holmes at once.
But I've been. He wasn't there.
He went to his house?
Yes, it's Baker Street. That's why I came to you. They said he might be here.
Well, no, he isn't here.
But don't you expect him sometime this evening?
No, there's no possibility of his coming, so far as I know.
But couldn't you get him to come?
I could not get him to come, madam. And I beg you to excuse me. I am going out myself on urgent business.
Then you think I had better call at his house again?
That will be the wisest thing to do.
Well, good night, Doctor.
What's that, Parsons?
It sounded to me like an accident.
Oh, dear. I hope it isn't anything serious. You just affect me terribly to know that anybody's hurt.
Well, it's probably nothing more than a broken-down Hanson. Let's see what it is, Parsons.
There's the bell, sir. Somebody's hurt, sir. And they're wanting...
Well, don't allow anybody to come in. I have no more time.
Very well, sir.
But they're coming, Doctor.
Parsons!
Let the old man in.
Oh, let the old man come in, can't you?
We had to bring him in, man.
No, you cannot come in here. Please, you cannot come in. The doctor can't see anybody.
Go for him, sir.
They would bring him in, sir. It's the old gentleman who was hurt a bit when the hansom upset.
Well, let them put him in here and send at once the doctor and brother.
Oh, yes, sir.
Help him in, Parsons.
Oh, Doctor, isn't it frightful?
Mrs. Seaton, if you will be so good as to step this way, you can reach the hall by taking the first door to your left.
But I don't excuse, Doctor.
None whatever.
But Doctor, I must see the poor fellow. I haven't the power to go.
Madam, I believe you have some ulterior motive in coming here. You will kindly leave as far.
Right this way, sir. Now be careful of the
That'll be all right. Come on now.
It won't be all right.
It was an accident. You can't help an accident.
You can't. That's plain enough.
He's on the wrong side of the street. Over to this chair.
No, I'll sit here.
No. This is the chair.
Don't you suppose I know where I want to sit down?
You'll sit here.
You are a very disagreeable man. You are totally uninformed on every subject. I wonder you're able to live in the same house with yourself. Are you a cabman?
No, sir.
Well, what are you?
I'm the butler, sir.
No, I can't stay around here, you know. I've got to go and attend to
him. Well, bring your horse in here. I want to speak to him. I want... Oh, why didn't somebody stop him? The cabman. Oh, what did he bring me in here for? I know where I am. It's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I won't stay in this place. In fact, when I get out of here alive...
You have a cab ready for me. I must see if he is badly hurt.
Yes, sir.
And Parsons, take that cabman's number. Now, sir, if you'll sit quiet for one moment, I'll have a look at you.
But don't let her go to that window.
Good Lord! Is that you, Holmes?
No, quite so, my dear fellow. Let me remove this wig.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, that's all. You've done it. Don't do anything more just now.
But look out, Holmes. She can get out that way.
And I don't think so. Well, what remarkable weather we're having, Doctor. I'm glad to see that you keep a few prescriptions carefully done up. First aid to the injury. Have you observed, Watson, that those people are always making them...
I've got it, sir.
But good heavens, is that Foreman?
It's Foreman, all right. Has Inspector Lestrade come with his men?
Yes, sir. One of them's in the hallway at our dinner. The others are in the kitchen garden. They came in over the back wall from Mortimer Street.
One moment. Now, Watson, my dear fellow, as you doubtless gather from the little episode that has just taken place, we are making the arrest. We've made a pretty good haul already. 4 last night in the gas chamber, 11 this afternoon in various places, and 1 more just now. But I regret to say that up to this present time, Professor Moriarty himself has not risen to the bait.
Now, where do you think he is, Holmes?
In the open streets, under some clever disguise, watching for a chance to get at me. One moment. Foreman.
Yes, sir.
Bring that Larrabee woman back here for a moment. When you see me light a fresh cigarette, let go your hold on her. Most carelessly, as if your attention was attracted to something else. Pick her up again when I tell you.
Yes, sir, I'll do that.
And was this woman sent in?
No, quite so, a spy, to let them know by some signal, probably at that window, if she should find me in the house. And it just occurred to me that it might not be such a very bad idea to try the professor with that bait. My dear Mrs. Larrabee, I took the liberty of having you brought in for a moment in order to convey to you my sincere sympathy in your rather unpleasant predicament.
It's a lie.
I'm so pleased to gather from your somewhat forcible observation that you do not regard it as such. Quite right, too. Our prisons are so well conducted now.
Oh, your prisons may be conducted. No concern of mine. There's nothing they can hold me for. Nothing.
Well, to be sure, there may be something in that. Still, it occurred to me that you might prefer to be near your unfortunate husband. But we hear a great deal about the heroic devotion of wives and all that rubbish. You know, Mrs. Larrabee, when we come right down to it, it's sometimes difficult to foresee the terms that fortune's wheel makes. How many thanks. That's all, Foreman. Pick her up again. Doctor, would you kindly pull the blind on once more? I don't care to be shot from the street.
Too late! It's too late!
Too late, eh?
The signal's given. You will hear from him soon.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. There's a cab outside. Been there ever since I showed up with Foreman. Curious. Watson, could you let me have a rather heavy portmanteau for a few moments? I won't do it any harm.
Pardon my large bedstone. Bring it in here.
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid it's pretty shabby looking, Holmes.
No!
Many thanks, Mrs. Larrabee, but your first signal was all that we required. I had to inform your friend Moriarty that I was here in the house. You are now aware of the fact that he is impersonating a cab driver and that it is my intention to have him in here. You wish to signal that there is danger. There is danger, Mrs. Larrabee, but we don't care to have you let him know it. Take her out, Foreman, and make her comfortable and happy. And by the way, Foreman, you might tell Lestrade to wait a few minutes and I'll send him another lot.
Come along now.
Fine woman.
Is this the bag?
Put it down there. Thank you so much. Parsons, you ordered a cab for the doctor a short time ago. It has been waiting, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, I think it is, sir.
Be so good as to tell the driver to come in here and get a valise. When he comes, tell him that's the one.
Very good, sir.
My dear fellow, in times like these, you should tell your man never to take the first cab that comes on a call, nor yet the second. The third may be safe.
But Holmes... Here it is. Right in this way.
Well, goodbye, old fellow. I'll write to you from Paris, and I hope you'll keep me fully informed of the progress of events. As for those papers, I'll attend to them personally.
Yes.
Here, cabby, just help me to tighten up these straps a bit. Yes. There are a few little things in this bag that I wouldn't like to lose, and it's just as well to be here. Who's up in the window?
What?
Doctor, will you kindly strike that bell of yours 2 or 3 times in rapid succession? Many thanks.
You want me, sir?
Got a man there with you?
Yes, sir. The inspector came and stepped.
Suppose you introduce the professor to the inspector. I'm sure he'd be pleased to meet.
Come along, Professor. Come
along. Here, let's see what he wants.
Do you imagine, Sherlock Holmes, that this is the end?
I venture to dream that it might be.
Are you quite sure the police will be able to hold me?
No, I am quite sure of nothing.
I have heard that you are planning to take a little trip, you and your friend here. A little trip on the continent.
And if I do?
I shall meet you there.
That's all, Foreman.
Come on.
No one! Did you hear that, Watson?
Yes, but surely you don't place any importance on such...
No importance. No importance. But as you know, I have a fancy that he spoke the truth.
Well, good heavens.
We'll give up the trip. Good heavens, we'll do nothing of the kind. What does it matter, here or there, if it must come?
Good heavens, Holmes. Look, we've barely 5 minutes.
For what?
To get to Baker Street, to your rooms. Your appointment with Sir Edward and the Count. They were to receive that packet of letters from you.
Oh, they're coming here.
What?
Yeah. That is, if you'll be so good as to permit.
Of course. But why not there?
But the scoundrels will burn me out.
Good heavens. Burned out. Oh, that's too bad. You lost everything?
Everything. Everything. I'm glad of it. I'm glad of it, Watson. I have had enough. This one thing that I shall do here in a few moments is we finish.
You mean?
In your rather unpleasant predicament.
It's a lie. It's a lie. There's no predicament.
I'm so pleased to gather from your somewhat forcible observation that you do not regard it as such.
Quite right, too. Our prisons are so well conducted now.
Oh, your prisons may be conducted as your concern is mine. There's nothing they can
hold you
for. Nothing.
Well, to be sure, there may be something in that. Still, it occurred to me that you might prefer to be near your unfortunate husband. But we hear a great deal about the heroic devotion of wives and all that rubbish. You know, Mrs. Larrabee, when we come right down to it, it's sometimes difficult to foresee the terms that fortunes will make. How many, thanks. That's all, Foreman. Pick her up again. Doctor, would you kindly pull the blind on once more? I don't care to be shot from the street.
Too late. Just too late.
Too late, eh?
The signal's given. You will hear from him soon.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. There's a cab outside. Been there ever since I showed up with Foreman. Could you?
Oh,
Watson, could you let me have a rather heavy portmanteau for a few moments? I won't do it any harm.
Parsons, my large bagstone. Bring it in here.
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid it's pretty shabby looking, Holmes.
Many thanks, Mrs. Larrabee, but your first signal was all that we required. I had to inform your friend Moriarty that I was here in the house. You are now aware of the fact that he is impersonating a cab driver and that it is my intention to have him in here. You wish to signal that there is danger. There is danger, Mrs. Larrabee, but we don't care to have you let him know it. Take her out, Foreman, and make her comfortable and happy. And by the way, Foreman, you might tell the stray to wait a few minutes and I'll send him another lot.
Come along now.
Fine woman.
Is this the bag?
Put it down there. Thank you so much. Parsons, you ordered a cab for the doctor a short time ago. It has been waiting, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, I think it is.
Be so good as to tell the driver to come in here and get a valise. When he comes, tell him that's the one.
Very good, sir.
My dear fellow, in times like these, you should tell your man never to take the first cab that comes on a call, nor yet the second. The third may be safe.
But Holmes... Here it is, right in this way.
Well, goodbye, old fellow. I'll write to you from Paris, and I hope you'll keep me fully informed of the progress of events. As for those papers, I'll attend to them personally.
Yes.
Here, cabby, just help me to tighten up these straps a bit. Yes. There are a few little things in this bag that I wouldn't like to lose, and it's just as well to be here. Who's that in the window?
What...
Doctor, will you kindly strike that bell of yours 2 or 3 times in rapid succession? Oh, many thanks.
You want me, sir?
Got a man there with you?
Yes, sir. The inspector came and stopped.
Suppose you introduce the professor to the inspector. I'm sure they'd be pleased to meet.
So now, come along, Professor. Come
along. Here, let's see what he wants.
Do you imagine, Sherlock Holmes, that this is the end?
I venture to dream that it might be.
Are you quite sure the police will be able to hold me?
No, I am quite sure of nothing.
I have heard that you are planning to take a little trip, you and your friend here, a little trip on the continent.
And if I do?
I shall meet you there.
That's all, Foreman.
Come on.
Did you hear that, Watson?
Yes, but surely you don't place any importance on such...
Oh, no importance. No importance. But as you know, I have a fancy that he spoke the truth.
Well, good heavens, we'll give up the trip.
Good heavens, we'll do nothing of the kind. What does it matter, here or there, if it must come?
Good heavens, Holmes. Look, we've barely 5 minutes.
For what?
To get to Baker Street, to your rooms. Your appointment with Sir Edward and the Count. They were to receive that packet of letters from you.
Oh, they're coming here.
What?
That is, if you'll be so good as to permit.
Do, of course. But why not there?
Well, the scoundrels will burn me out.
Good heavens. Burned out. Oh, that's too bad. You lost everything?
Everything. Everything. I'm glad of it. I'm glad of it, Watson. I have had enough. This one thing that I shall do here in a few moments is we finish.
You mean Miss Faulkner?
Why, Watson, she trusted me. She clung to me. What does it matter? She may be here now. I'll go to your dressing room for a moment, if you'll allow me, and brush away a little of the stuff.
Oh, by all means. Mrs. Watson is in the drawing room. Do look in on her a moment. could please her so much.
It will more than please me. Mrs. Watson. Mary. Oh, Watson. Mary, my dear, how nice to see you.
Lady, sir, wants to know if she can speak to you. If there's anyone here, she won't come in.
Any name?
No, sir. I asked her, and she said it was unnecessary, as you wouldn't know her. She has a maid with her, sir.
Well, show her in here, and let the maid wait in the reception room. And Parson?
Yes.
Two gentlemen, Count von Stahlberg and Sir Edward Layton, will call. Bring them here to this room at once and then tell Mr. Holmes. You'll find him in my dressing room.
Yes, sir.
Send everybody else away. I'll see that lady.
Yes, sir.
Is this Dr. Watson?
Yes, and I am Dr. Watson.
Would you mind telling me if Mr. Holmes, Mr. Sherlock Holmes is here?
He will be before long, Mr.
My name is Faulkner.
Miss Faulkner. He came a short time ago, but has gone upstairs for a few moments.
Oh, and is he coming down soon?
Well, the fact is, Miss Faulkner, he has an appointment with two gentlemen here, and I was to let him know as soon as they arrive.
Do you suppose I could wait without troubling you too much and see him afterward?
Oh, certainly, yes.
Thank you. And I don't want him to know that I came.
Of course, if you wish. There's no need of my telling him.
It's very important indeed that you don't, Dr. Watson. I can explain it all to you afterwards.
No explanation is necessary, Miss Faulkner.
Thank you. I suppose there is a waiting room for patients?
Yes, or you could sit in there. You'll be less likely to be disturbed if you don't mind a few medicine bottles about.
Yes, I'd prefer that.
Then step this way. I think the gentlemen have arrived.
And when the business between the gentlemen is over, would you please have someone come and
tell me? Well, I'll tell you myself, Miss Faulkner.
Count von Stahlberg, Sir Edward Layton.
Count? Sir Edward?
Dr. Watson, good evening.
Our appointment with Mr. Holmes was changed to your house, I believe.
Quite right. Pray be seated, gentlemen.
Mr. Holmes is a trifle late.
Well, he has already arrived, Count. I have sent for him.
It was quite a surprise to receive his message an hour ago, changing the place of meeting. We should otherwise have gone to his house.
Did I understand you to say, Doctor, that you had sent for Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Count. And he will be here shortly. Indeed, I think I hear him on the stairs now.
Gentlemen, be seated again, I beg. Our business this evening can be quickly disposed of. You were notified to come here in order that I might deliver into your hands the packet which you engaged me on behalf of your exhausted client to recover. Let me say, in justice to myself, that but for that agreement on my part, I would never have continued with the work. As it was, however, I felt bound to do so, and I now have the honor to place the papers in your hands.
Oh, no.
What does this mean, these letters and these other things? Where did you get them?
I purchased them last night.
Purchased them?
No, quite so.
From whom, may I ask?
From the parties interested, by the consent of Miss Faulkner.
You have been deceived.
What? I say!
This packet contains nothing, not a single letter or paper that we wanted. All clever imitations. The photographs are of another person. You have been duped. With all your supposed cleverness, they have tricked you.
Most decided to dupe me.
Oh, this is terrible.
You surely do not mean by that there is a possibility you may not be able to recover them.
It's quite true.
After your positive assurances?
Do you mean to say there is no hope of it?
None whatever, Count. It's too late now. I can't begin all over again.
Why, this is scandalous.
There is nothing to do, Sir Edward. I'm ruined. Ruined.
You're a mistake, Sir Edward. I'm so sorry. This is the packet you wanted. Mr. Holmes didn't know that he had the wrong one.
But this is certainly kind of you, Miss...
My name is Faulkner.
Yes, well, very kind, Miss Faulkner. Eh, Count?
Surely kind. If it isn't another swindle.
Will you mind if we...
No, not at all.
This is certainly what we wanted.
Quite genuine.
We are greatly indebted to you, Miss Faulkner.
To be sure.
And to you too, Mr. Holmes, if this was part of your general scheme. It was certainly an extraordinary method of obtaining possession of valuable documents.
Quite extraordinary.
You have only to notify me of the charge for your invaluable services, and you will receive a check.
Kind, I'm sure, Sir Edward.
Good night, sir. Good night, Doctor. It was most kind of you to allow us...
Entirely so. Entirely so.
Let me show you out, gentlemen. This way, please.
Aren't you going to say good night?
Miss Faulkner, you have no reason to allow me to do such a thing.
But why?
Because by now you must begin to realize the trick and the deception I've practiced on you in order to make you give up your property. I couldn't take it out of the house that first night like a straightforward thief because it could have been recovered at law. And for that reason, I swindled you out of it.
Swindled?
Precisely. That's just what I did. Swindled you out of it. Now that you know this, Miss Faulkner, and now that you realize what sort of a person I am, it must be sufficient to make you turn away from me with loathing and disgust.
It is sufficient.
Yes, well, I'm sorry, but I must be going. I suppose Mademoiselle is waiting to take you home.
But, Mr. Holmes...
Yes?
I want to ask you something.
Certainly. What is it?
Don't you care for me at all?
It can make no difference whatever whether I do or not.
It will make a great deal of difference to me.
Miss Faulkner.
Yes.
This is a trying situation, isn't it? Of course, we must find some way out of it.
But I don't want any way out of it.
You asked me a question. Well, this is the answer. I do care for you. I do. But I'm not telling you anything. You knew it perfectly well before.
But I think it's just as well for you to say it.
I do say it. But, dearest one, that must be the end of it. Do you fancy for one second that I'd allow your young life to be tangled up with a life like mine? You at the very beginning, and I only a few years from the end at the very most. Why, it would be simply...
But please, listen. I want to tell you. All that is nothing. Nothing. Because whatever life you have is my life, too. All my life. All the life I want.
A few words may suffice to tell the little that remains. Moriarty escaped. He indeed did meet Holmes on the continent. In Switzerland, to be exact. There, during a terrible struggle, both fell into the Reichenbach Falls. Neither was seen again. We will never know if Holmes would have wed Alice Faulkner had he lived. He was not given to sentiment. And to my knowledge, no other woman ever melted his heart except for the adventurous Irene Adler, who excited his respect and nothing more. Anyway, Alice Faulkner disappeared shortly after Holmes and I left for the continent. Mrs. Watson and I like to think that somewhere, sometime, the spirits of Alice Faulkner and Sherlock Holmes will be joined in an eternal union more perfect than the earthly one, the fate in the guise of Robert Moriarty denied them.
Alice! Alice!
I'm here, my darling. I'm here. You're going to be all right. Moriarty is gone, and now I am going to take care of you.
You've been listening to the Chicago Radio Theater with the All-Media Dramatic Workshop production of Sherlock Holmes by William Gillette and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. You have heard Kenneth Norstedt as Holmes and D. Nicholas Ruttle as Watson. James Deuter, Rosalind Alexander, William Bushby, and Diane Ruttle. The play was adapted for radio, produced and directed by Yuri Rostovsky. Michelle M. Faith is associate producer, Barry Radman, engineer. This is Mel Zeller.